Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Happy Saturday afternoon to you, and welcome to this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12:30 to 1:30, high atop the worldwide headquarters of Talk 1370, the right choice over here in West Austin, and it is another beautiful, beautiful day here, and as I always like to say, in the nation's 11th largest city, that would be Austin, Texas, the capital city, and happy, I guess about 10 days before the election is what I'm going to say. It's now been about 5 days early voting. It's really happening. It's really here. I'm sure a lot of you have already been out standing in line at the polls. I'll get to that in a minute. The record number of turnout across the state. We've also had this week three things come to mind, I should say. This has been the week, although it didn't get as much attention as I thought it would initially. Donald Trump mentioned the word nationalism the other day, and the press, of course, loves to pounce on everything he says. A lot of people don't necessarily know what the word nationalism means, but I think he's going to be using it for the closing 10 days. So I'll mention that in a second. But boy, howdy, this week of the first starting with the caravan, then the bombs that were sent out that, as it appears, turn out to really not be bombs, or if they are, they weren't functioning, going to be functionable. None of them blew up, except for those that were intentionally detonated. And then we had yesterday Attorney General, who comes to the rescue and saves the day, but Attorney General Jeff Sessions was on all the network talk shows. I think it was at about 2 o'clock or a little bit before. You probably have heard about it here on Talk 1370, and Donald Trump said, I just fascinated, folks, I should start by the 30,000-foot view, is that Einstein said politics is more difficult than physics, and yet sometimes it's really not that difficult. This issue of the bombs allowed President, my humble little opinion, allowed, it was just comical on the Democrat side, and then it allowed President Donald Trump to come out and make the statement, we will catch this person. And he's looking maybe like a statesman, but he's certainly looking like the leader of the nation in the free world. Here's what Donald Trump said. We have to come together. We have to send one very clear, strong, unmistakable message that acts and threats of political violence of any kind have no place in the United States of America. And, you know, so much for the idea that the man's unstable or he's unfit to serve in office or that the Russia, you name it. I think it gave him a chance to, as has the caravan thing, given him a chance to look like he's fighting for America, which is the reason everybody chose the lesser of two evils 2 years ago. You had Hillary Clinton and the Bernie bros on the left with all their foibles and their getting away with crimes and they're trying to steal an election Hillary did over Bernie Sanders. Don't forget that the Democrats are still doing plenty of infighting right now. And then on the right, you had Donald Trump, who wasn't necessarily a Republican, and Republicans didn't know if they could get behind him or not. And America, as I've said before, let's be honest about it, chose the lesser of two evils. And now here we are 2 years later. Donald Trump's been, as I say, winning everything. I'm just looking at it as an economist and I'm trying to be objective as possible. The man hasn't lost yet, and I'm not going to bet against him until he loses not one or two times, but loses like three or four or five times, because he wasn't supposed to win the nomination. He wasn't given an H-E double toothpicks chance a snowball's chance in you know where of winning over Hillary Clinton. And as then he gets the tax cuts, he gets regulations cut, he solves the Middle East to a great extent, he solves the North Korean people. The prognosticators said he was going to cause World War III, and sure enough, no. You talk tough to somebody as the world's major international power, and they end up coming around. But the previous administration and previous politicians, nobody stood up for America. But Trump's looking like a statesman, or maybe like, maybe a little too fancy word for most of us. He's looking like a leader, and he is looking like he is protecting your and my pocketbook, and he's looking like he's going to fight for us. And that's what America has been lacking. We're talking about record numbers here in this week's election so far. I got to be honest with you. If you go to Texas Insider now, you'll see a lead story right there. Our lead story is Donald Trump saying that he agrees with President Obama 100%. Alert the media on that one, because he's quoting Barack Obama when he said, as president, that we simply can't allow people to pour into our country undocumented. But Donald Trump, really, I think the story that I'm referring you to is called Is Republican Red Tide Trumping Democrats Blue Wave? And it talks about two different families up in Erie, Pennsylvania. We all know the president was in Minnesota. He started off the week in Texas, down in Houston with Ted Cruz. He went to Minnesota. I think he is going to be in Tennessee and Nevada. He's been in Indiana and Montana and Wyoming. He's going to continue to be some places next week as well. But these folks in Pennsylvania, which was supposed to be the Democrats and Hillary Rodham Clinton's firewall, he won Pennsylvania, he won Ohio, he won Michigan, he won Wisconsin, these places through the Midwest that nobody gave him a prayer of winning. Hillary didn't even go to those states in the last 30 days of the election. Trump was there 3 and 4 times, and he won them because they believed that he was, in fact, going to fight for America. And the two couples, two different families in this article, is the red wave, is the red tide trumping the Democrats' blue wave? Here's the one it starts out. Jason Vogel is a 40-year-old union steward for Teamsters Local 397, and he's fired up to vote Republican. He says his passion crystallized 2 weeks ago when he saw just how chaotic Washington, D.C. would be if the Democrats were to seize power in Congress. We all know, folks, this is going to be a high-volume election compared to most midterms. But I got to tell you, most people go into the vote, like go into the polling booth and go into vote. I said this 2 years ago, a little bit undecided. And you got to think, first of all, Texas is a little bit different than this, but most states, let's say, are 50-50. 50, or it breaks down this way, 40% Republican, 40% Democrat, 10% undecided. And that's where the battle is with those undecideds. And those undecided folks, what do you all do? They go into the voter booth kind of undecided and unsure, and they're trying to go through all the stuff that's been thrown at them on the TV, on the radio, determine who's telling the truth or who's not, or what issues are important and what aren't. And you go in there like you go into a drive-through lane at a restaurant. You don't know what you're going to order, but you drive up, and you want to be, if you're a voter, you want to be with the winners. As simple as that sounds, it's as simple as that as it gets, because most people in the undecided category, polling analysis has shown, want to be with the winner. And in this instance, I think whether it's this union Teamsters local up in Pennsylvania or in Florida, where there's a heated Senate and governor's race you may have heard of, you're going to want to be with the winner and the people that are fighting for you. I heard somebody say the other day that the Democrats don't have anything to vote for right now. They have tried to set themselves up as the moral authority of the country, and they tried to perform a kill shot, is how I described it, on Judge Kavanaugh the other day. That's what really still is in a lot of people's minds. Black Lives Matter was chaotic. The Me Too movement has been abused. And I think a lot of women, we had Sherry Workman and State Rep Paul Workman on the show last weekend. Sherry Workman said that here in Austin, Texas, she's hearing from most women, number one, that they're insulted the Democrats would think that women are stupid enough to believe all this junk that they're throwing at them about a high school yearbook and beer parties, and it was proved to all be a hit job, a kill shot, number one. And number two, that women are afraid for their husbands, their grandsons, and their own sons. This is what we're facing if the Democrats get into power. So I think people are going to be going into the voting booth, and particularly here in Texas. The numbers were last week, the record numbers, and the question is, are the strong early voting numbers in the first 3 and 4 days, are those simply people that would have voted on election day moving up to vote early, and therefore there's no increase in volume overall? Or are they people that have not voted in a while. There was a good story in the Austin Un-American Statesperson, as I often refer to them. We don't want them to be against women, so I call them not the statesman, but the statesperson. They do a great job, and I subscribe, although they're a little more liberal for some of us. But they quoted some sources that said in the 2014 midterm election, Texas turnout was 33.7%. In the 2016 presidential election, the turnout was 59.4%. And now, looking so far, they can analyze whether you voted or not. They quoted two different sources that said 7.2% of the people voting so far are new voters. That means they haven't voted in the last 10 years. And the other source said up 6%. So we're going to be able to visit next weekend with State or Senator Don Buckingham, who's our local senator, had a big role in recruiting and raising money and turning out the vote. But this weekend, because you're an insider, I'm pleased to be able to have in studio State Representative Tony Dale with me from up in the Round Rock and Georgetown area. And that's what we're going to talk about, is some of this Texas turnout, the caravan. As somebody told me the other day, the poll numbers of Donald Trump look now like, and remind me of the same poll numbers that he had on election night 2 years ago when he won. So State Representative Tony Dale and you and I will be talking some more Texas and national politics after this commercial break right here on the Texas Insider Show.
Heat back production, he got Walrus Gumbo, he got, oh, no side bowl, he won't spinal cracker, he got feet down below his knee, hold you in his armchair, you can...
Talk 1370, the right choice.
Oh, good job there, Matt. Matt Alvarez behind the glass producing the show. Little Phil Collins to calm me down after getting on the high horse there the first segment. But welcome back, folks, to the Texas Insider Show. I'm Jim Cardle. We appreciate you joining us for this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. Be sure and check us out at texasinsider.org when you want, how you want. We post about 10 or 15 articles every day, giving you the inside and straight scoop from the elected officials is pretty much what we do. We figure you get enough opinion everywhere else, and we just quote their press releases and get it straight from the elected officials statewide and state house and Congress critters themselves. So follow us at texasinsider.org or go to Facebook and Twitter. We got just short of 50,000 followers at Texas Insider on Facebook and Twitter. But State Representative Tony Dale, thanks a ton for coming in today. I was talking there in the first segment about the national perspectives and what's driving some things here and what's driving some things there, and how Donald Trump might be actually having a chance with the bomb scares and the caravan and some of these other things to actually look like the leader that I think. You just look at the evidence, you got to at least halfway admit, if not 110% admit, that he's doing a good job. But Tony Dale, I mistakenly said you're from Round Rock and Georgetown. It's really Cedar Park and Leander, but it's House District 136. Appreciate you coming in today.
Great to be here. Thanks.
You've been a guest with us before. You're one of the conservative leaders from across the state down in at the State House and the State House of Representatives, and we happen to be lucky enough to have you representing some of the fine citizens of the greater Austin, Central Texas area. What are you hearing out there these days in terms of election issues? Is some of this national stuff prevailing into your local races, or what's your local feel on the campaign trail these days?
Well, I think in this day and age, it's impossible to escape what's happening nationally. You know, not only do you have a million options on TV, but everybody's got news coming across Twitter and Facebook and any website you want to go to. So I think people feel pretty inundated with information. You know, I do hear, I've been hearing it for a couple of years, that people also just don't know who to trust when they read the news or whatever is out there. They're like, I'm just looking for a source that I can trust. And it's a challenge for a lot of folks.
Interesting. So They are, that's fascinating. I mean, we'll get into, you know, maybe the border security or school safety or some of that, but that's fascinating that people are inundated. I guess that goes to the issue that they don't trust the media. The polls show that the trust of the media has gone down, that the television is not being watched like it used to. Radio is one of the few instances where you can really, as you're driving in your car, flip around and have so many options, but that maybe, do you feel that that transfers to a lack of interest, or are people going to be interested in voting, or are they discouraged or are encouraged to vote this cycle?
Well, I think you've got a couple different categories of people, right? You got the folks that know what they're going to do. They've always known what they're going to do, and they're the people that probably voted on the first, second, third, and fourth, fifth day of early voting because mm-hmm. they were just waiting, ready to go.
Yeah.
And then you've got people that are great citizens that know they're going to vote and but decide late on how they're going to vote. And but God bless them, because they're going to get out and they're going to do their civic duty, which is a good thing.
Which is the most exciting thing to me. I mean, I referred to Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders in the first segment. I don't care which side you're on. The fact, and folks, we are lucky to be alive today, is my humble opinion, in 35 years of politics, because people in, by the tens of millions across the country are coming back and engaging in politics. You've been out at the polling places this week. What are you seeing?
Well, I feel pretty good about it. You know, not only do we have high volume, but I'm getting lots of thumbs up and smiles. And I've been involved in campaigns where, you know, it's not so good for your people. Mm-hmm. you can tell the mood. I feel like it's pretty good. So that's nice. But really, having high volume, I think is important, because, you know, when people participate in elections through voting, it adds more legitimacy to the final choice. If someone gets elected with a very small, not necessarily a small number of votes, but the small percentage of the total population. Yeah. You know, I'm not talking about a close race. I'm talking about hardly anybody voting. That's not good for anybody, right? Mm-hmm. Because it just doesn't lead to the kind of legitimacy people want and expect in our system. So I think people should vote. You know, it's from my old Boy Scout and Cub Scout days that voting is not just a right, but also a duty. Mm-hmm. But with that responsibility, I mean, you need to be informed too. So, and that's where I think people find challenges. They're looking for trusted sources. And that's why, you know, we try and do so much to get out there and have direct voter contact, go to the doors and go to a bunch of events and be in the community and try and give people a chance to talk to me and me to listen to them. And
I know your wife, Mary's a big campaign asset for you too.
Well, my wife is a great asset, of course. Mm-hmm. We've been married many, many years, and I love her to death, and you know, couldn't do any of this stuff without her.
Let me talk about, it's to lend credibility, because I do not say lightly that you're one of the conservative leaders from across the state down at the State House. You have a background in the military. You've just been promoted. Congratulations on that. You serve in Weekend Warriors, I think, is what some people commonly think about it as, but it's the Texas State Guard and the National Guard. Give us a thumbnail about your background here and let folks know what your experience has been.
Well, I come from a long line of military folks, going way back from the Revolutionary War forward, but, you know, in modern times, from had two great-grandfathers in World War I, two of my grandfathers in World War II. My dad was in the Navy during Vietnam. So I kind of knew I was going to join at some point. So I enlisted in the United States Army Reserves back in 1989. Okay. And then I was in college at the time. So I ended up getting into the ROTC program, got a two-year scholarship, and got commissioned in 1992 as a regular Army second lieutenant. Went off to training in tanks and ended up at the great place, Fort Hood, in the 1st Cav Division, which was a dream of mine to be a tank platoon leader in the 1st Cav. And got to do that along with other assignments, and left active duty as a captain in 1997. But now I'm involved with the Texas State Guard, where now I'm a lieutenant colonel and working in strategic initiatives and helping out, like last year on Hurricane Harvey, things like that.
So as a matter of fact, I'm glad you brought Hurricane Harvey up, because we talked about that about a month ago. It's been the year anniversary, but everybody drives down Mopac and sees Camp Mabry, probably wonders what's going on over there. I know you told me the other day that you had traveled to Israel and looked at the tanks over there and gotten some intel and update on how things are going in the Middle East. But what is a typical engagement for you now that you're in the private sector and that you have to serve, I believe it's once a month, or do something active once a month, correct?
Yeah, sure. We meet once a month. We go for a weekend typically. Mm-hmm. In our where I work is at Camp Mabry. Mm-hmm. So I'm going down to Camp Mabry. And really what my unit's doing is we're preparing for when the next disaster happens. I thought perhaps these floods would get us called out. So it could be anything from localized flooding to a major disaster like it had in Hurricane Harvey. And what we prepare to do is work in the what they call the district disaster centers and working with the local officials to coordinate the military assets that might be in a multi-county area.
So you're a first responder, part of the first responder teams, probably.
We're part of that team. Yeah, you know, we're expected to be prepared to go in advance of most other folks and get set up and prepare for additional assets to come in behind us as the disaster unfolds.
So you go in ahead of time and assess the situation and see what's necessary and then call it in. Let's talk about your local race. You, as I mentioned, are from House District 136 in the Cedar Park and Leander area. What are some of the issues particularly that you're talking about and that people are asking you about on the campaign trail?
Well, property taxes is a big deal. You know, I represent a lot mm-hmm. of homeowners, and I'm a homeowner myself, so I understand the impact of property taxes. At last session, I voted for a bill that would have limited local government's authority to raise taxes without voter approval. So, for example, if your local taxes were to exceed 4% increase, then the voters would automatically get to vote for or against that. And unfortunately, that did not pass. So it's unfinished business that we have to get down to. But, mm-hmm. you know, I feel the pain of property taxes just like everybody else up there. So that's one thing that's really on people's minds. Transportation is another issue. I only have two highways in my district that are both toll roads. And so when we've seen some of the incompetence that has pervaded the system from 2015 forward, I've really been strong on making sure people are being billed properly, that if they are owed money, they get the money back. And I'm really pleased to announce that next week on Wednesday, mm-hmm. The CTRMA that runs 183A and other roads is
that would be the Central Texas Regional Mobility Authority, I know.
Thank you, sorry.
CTRMA.
Right, so they're going to be voting on Wednesday to say that if you have Purple Heart plates or disabled veteran plates, and a couple other of the significant military awards, then you will have your tolls waived on all of their roads, excluding the Mopac Express Lane, which is something I started prompting them to do back in October mm-hmm. of last year. Mm-hmm. And now they're getting ready to move on that, and I'm pretty excited about it. So if you're a veteran that has a Purple Heart plate or DV plate, you should go onto their website, take a look at it, and find out how you can get your tolls waived.
And I guess you mentioned the two highways. Is that 45 and 183?
Well, 45 is the other road. Now, that one's, you already have your tolls waived. That's a state road. That's TxDOT.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay, we got one final minute here or less. We're visiting with State Representative Tony Dale from House District 136 up in the Cedar Park and Leander area. Tony, you've been on the show before. I know you've been working on those transportation issues. A big, big deal. Here in Austin, Texas, the percentage, as they say, that we're growing 100 people every day. But when we come back, I want to ask you in particular about this caravan issue, about border security. I know the state legislature sends about $800 million down for border security. It is an issue in the state. I bet it is in your district. But folks, when we come back to visit more with State Representative Tony Dale, we'll be drilling down into what's going on here in the local political world on Talk 1370, The Right Choice. I'm Jim McCardle. We'll be right back.
Listen to Talk 1370 anytime, anywhere with the all-new Radio.com app. Check your phone's app store or visit talk1370.com/app.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Don't look back, a little Boston to Austin here. We're thrilled that you're spending a minute of your day with us on this lovely Saturday afternoon in the largest, 11th largest city in America. That would be Austin, Texas. And welcome back to the Texas Insider Show. Folks, I'm Jim Cardle. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12:30 to 1:30 right here on Talk 1370, the Right Choice. Hearing a little news at the top of the hour with some of this bomb stuff continuing to develop, and of course, the caravan's getting closer down and coming through Mexico. And be sure and check us out for updates on this type of stuff at texasinsider.org, where we print and post about 10 to 15 articles a day. Also, be sure you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at just Texas Insider. But we're also pleased to be able to visit today with State Representative Tony Dale from House District 136. Check out more about Tony Dale by going to TexansForTonyDale.com on the interweb, as people say. Tony, thanks for coming in today. And we got kind of an overview of the mood of the folks up in North Austin there, the first segment. But I want to drill down into some of this caravan and bombs and type thing, because I'm guessing it's going to be an issue. And if I remember correctly, I've seen a couple things flying around the internet on Facebook and Twitter. What is the mood up in District 136 in North Austin? Let's start with this caravan. Are the issues of border security and sanctuary cities and illegal immigration things that people are talking about?
Yeah, I think so. You know, border security remains something that's very high on people's radar screen. And you know, I think I'm like a lot of Texans. I like legal immigration, but I'm concerned about illegal immigration. We've got a lot of bad stuff that comes over our border, whether it be contraband, and you know, the drug cartels control that whole operation down there. So there's a lot of bad stuff happening on the borders. And
you've been down there before.
Multiple times. I've served two terms on the Homeland Security Committee. And, you know, it's pretty bad. So we've tried to make an effort to put state dollars to fight crime on the Texas side of the border. And, you know, it makes a difference in those towns down there when we had some of the towns where their violent crime rate went down substantially. And, you know, these cartels operate not just on the south side, but on the north side. And there's cartel members that live here in Austin, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's a big deal all throughout the state, and they work with these street gangs, and they're violent. And we don't need violent criminals here. But the problem today with illegal immigration is it's pretty hard to separate, you know, people that are seeking economic opportunities from these really bad people. And that's why you need to follow a process and come here like you're supposed to. And we shouldn't tolerate things like sanctuary cities. That's why I helped pass that bill to make sure that local law enforcement had to cooperate with federal law enforcement to make sure that we're not letting bad guys out of jail, and that if we suspect someone's a bad guy, the feds can take care of them.
I saw something in the Austin American Statesman the other day that said there's been, and some of you may have heard of this, there's been record numbers of families crossing the U.S. border after Donald Trump put in his plan to separate families, or that was just executing the law is all that was. Then he had to repeal that or draw it back. And subsequently, we're seeing record numbers and members, you've heard in the news, of this caravan. They know to come in families. This Statesman article said that the strategy now is for groups of 100 women and families in a group come up from Central America. They have children. They know how to what's going to get them into the country. And Matt, if you can, play clip number two right now, because I saw something the other day on one of our local TV stations. It was your opponent talking about his position. It's fairly unbelievable.
Also on border security, the state currently funding it at about $700-800 million per year, border security efforts there. Do you think that that is a good revenue stream that's being put forward?
I don't. I think it's a misuse of Texas funds. That is something that the federal government has to deal with. Our state legislature needs to deal with education and access to health care, and that's where our money should be going.
So there's your opponent, former Williamson County Democrat Chairman John Busey, who you absolutely curb stomped 4 years ago by 13%, but he's coming back around and sees an opportunity, I guess, and he's saying we don't need to be funding border security. I know the number from the Statesman article said that U.S. agents made $396,000 arrests along the Mexico border in 2018, which is a 30% increase over 2017. What's going on with your opponent, I guess, is what I've got to ask.
Well, he makes it sound like the state can only do one thing at a time. I think it's important to remember that education and health care represent more than 73% of the total state budget. So we are putting tremendous assets towards that. And when the federal government fails to protect Texans, you've heard Governor Abbott say his number one priority is public safety and protecting Texans.
Yep.
And we had, even today, we are catching all law enforcement in Texas and federal law enforcement, about 7,000 people per week crossing illegally between the ports of entry.
Okay, say that again, because I'd want people to remember. It helps to have a number on it.
We are catching approximately 7,000 people per week between the ports of entry. So that means we don't know how many we don't catch. They come from countries all over the world. They're mostly not from Mexico, frankly. They enter by way of Mexico, of course, but more than 60% are not from Mexico. We've caught in the last 18 months, I'd say, people from over 180 countries.
Really?
Entering into Texas. And it includes developed countries in Europe and, the UK. We catch people from Canada, for God's sakes. I mean, it's unbelievable. People from Africa, but we also catch people from countries with a nexus to terrorism, from whether it be Iran, Iraq, Jordan, Libya, mm-hmm. Saudi Arabia. I mean, you name it.
People who hate America.
We catch people from countries that have a lot of problems. And we catch people from China every week, too. So, I mean, they're coming from all over the world. But when they commit crimes in Texas, it's a law enforcement and public safety issue. And is the state to sit back and say, well, let's somebody else handle it? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
We have an obligation to protect Texans, and that's what we do with those dollars down there.
And people don't realize, maybe here in Austin, they certainly, I don't think, necessarily realize, and say up in the DFW area, I know I've had State Representative Ford Price from Amarillo before. They've got a huge problem in Amarillo with this illegal immigrant crime issue. And if you go south of San Antonio, it's a everyday issue. They don't talk about racial overtones against Hispanics because that's just not the way they think down there. And yet we continue to hear about it. But here, to know that in Austin, it's an issue. It's not in the news often enough. And now we've got President Trump this last week saying that he's going to, and through his Secretary of Defense Mathis, saying that the national troops, 800 additional national troops, are going to move down to the border. Talk about that a little bit. Are you all hearing anything about President Trump's showing a little leadership there?
Well, certainly we've been following the news on that, but we've had National Guard troops on the border since June of 2014 when Governor Perry sent them down there. And back then, we were catching 14,000 people a week, not just 7,000. 14,000 a week is what we were catching back when you had that
unbelievable
crisis kind of situation on mm-hmm. the border. You would think that, catching 7,000 a week would amount to a crisis, but mm-hmm. that's like cut in half from mm-hmm. where we were. So, it's a big deal. And, you've got to reform the national laws. You've got to have things like national E-Verify. You have to do enforcement on employers. But when you have weak immigration laws like this, where you can't separate, people that want to do us harm from people that are looking for opportunities, it's a big problem. And the other thing is that it invites people to follow a very dangerous path. About 80%, some studies say up to 80% of the females that cross the border are sexually assaulted. That's not acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
And they're people. We're all created in God's image. You shouldn't want someone to be abused like that.
Amen.
Many of them are kidnapped, and there's extortion. Some are killed. Some are beat, robbed along the way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, it's a perilous journey, but they shouldn't even be tempted to make it, because we should have a process that is, regular, and we have the right as a country to know who is here, for how long, for what purpose. And we're just not doing a very good job at that. And it results in a lot of lawlessness.
You're talking there about the actual danger, which doesn't get enough coverage. Some might have seen the footage this last week of these. They just look like hoodlums they actually destroyed, tore down, devastated the property that was the border between Honduras and Mexico. Talk about, in the 90 seconds that we got left, so people know, because we don't hear enough about it in Austin, but you've probably got some examples of things that have gone on in our neighborhoods.
Well, I mean, all throughout Texas, the criminal gang threat is substantial. There are gangs that are domestic, U.S. gangs, but there's many that are working directly with the drug cartels, because the amount of drugs that move over the border is astounding. We're talking tons in the course of a week that we capture. We're missing a lot of it, of course, and maybe 100 pounds more sometimes of heroin, which goes an incredibly far way, and cocaine, methamphetamines, all this stuff. And not only that, you've got human trafficking, where people are put into sex slavery, which is, you know, victimizing women and girls and sometimes boys. It's just really bad, and there's a lot of harm that comes from it.
Well, folks, we're going to continue talking about this issue, since it's been so big nationally, and it really does have an impact here locally more so than we think about. We're visiting with State Representative Tony Dale, nice enough to come into the studio this Saturday afternoon. He's from House District 136 up in Cedar Park and Leander. Be sure and check him out at texansfortonydale.com. And we'll be right back after this final commercial break with State Representative Tony Dale on the Texas Insider Show.
I don't want to go. We cannot live together. We cannot live apart.
On air, online, and on your smart device, Talk 1370 is the right choice.
Good job there, Matt. Hold on loosely. Certainly these days in politics, as much as it's in our face, is probably not a bad thing to keep in the back of your mind, folks. I'm Jim Cardle. Appreciate you joining us for this week's edition of the Texas Insider Show. We're here every Saturday afternoon from 12:30 to 1:30 on Talk 1370, the right choice. When you're not holding on loosely, you're coming in to be a Texas Insider. As we say, you're either an insider or you're not. Be sure and check us out at texasinsider.org for our homepage, or follow us on Facebook and Twitter, where we got about 50,000 followers just at Texas Insider. And also be sure and check out our guest here today, Tony Dale, State Representative from House District 136 at Texans for Tony Dale. Tony, we were talking there about the horrible crimes that happened to children and women, and that does not get enough coverage. It is a lot of people have been saying this week that this caravan is organized, in fact, is a ATM and a money-making effort by the coyotes and the cartels who want to move people in, and that's what drives these things more than anything else, where they get abused. But Donald Trump's got we've had a spiraling enforcement challenge. You can't fault people, in my humble little opinion, for trying to improve their lot in life. But our government system just isn't working in terms of processing people in immigration. But then the one issue, the other thing that I saw the other day with old Corina Kling, our friend that had an interview with your opponent, John Busey, up in the Cedar Park and Leander area, who you've already beaten once, but he's coming back for more. He was on that show, and they were talking about sanctuary cities, which is one of the things that draws people, if you're in a foreign land, knowing that you can come here and have safe harbor, I think is Donald Trump's strongest point, that we are a nation of laws. But Matt, cue up clip number one on sanctuary cities from the other day.
I do want to ask you, because you were outspoken against SB 4, the sanctuary cities bill, as chair of the Williamson County Democratic Party. Would you vote for a bill to repeal it?
Yes, I mean, I think sanctuary cities are important. I think that's the role of city government, and I support Austin City Council and what they're trying to do there. And I think that's what they need to, you know, they need to have the ability to do that. I don't think the state government should come in and tell local jurisdictions what they can and can't do.
Unbelievable. State Representative Tony Dale, that's your opponent. If you go to the Texas Insider right now, folks, the top article is entitled, Trump says, I agree with President Obama 100%. We simply cannot allow people to pour into our country undocumented. And he's quoting President Obama from his term during presidency, where that's actually what Obama said. Bill Clinton even said back during in one of his State of the Union addresses that all Americans, this is a quote, all Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. Thus said Bill Clinton in a State of the Union address. Talk about sanctuary cities, and what's your position on the sanctuary cities issue? It's been a big one here in Texas.
Well, I think you said it right. I mean, to hear my opponent say that sanctuary cities are important and that he favors them is, it is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how soon we forget. It wasn't that long ago that right here in Central Texas, the Travis County Sheriff was releasing people that the federal government wanted, and some of them had violent arrest records,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to take care of them, whether it be deportation, prosecution, whatever the case may be. And we know of incidents all throughout the country where illegal aliens were brought into local jails and let go against the wishes of the federal government, and then they went on and perpetrated crimes in the community, in some cases murdering people. You know, look, law enforcement shouldn't be put in the situation where they're told to ignore a law. They're there to enforce the law. They should be impartial in how they do that. And for someone like my opponent to say that, you know, we should go back to that kind of lawlessness and disrespect for the law and, frankly, for law enforcement, I think is just a step backwards, and it's wrongheaded.
You raise a really good point by saying that, because by and large, I've got to believe that the people on the line, the average law enforcement police officer in Austin, Texas, is going to go to his job every day. That's why they get into the stinking business, is to help keep society safe. And then they have their sheriff or their police chief say that you can't enforce the law. I'm sure you've talked to them. What do you hear from law enforcement, other people in law enforcement?
Well, I know I've talked to them where they say, look, yeah. You know, it's dangerous to apprehend these people, okay? And then mm-hmm. they're put in jail and they think, okay, this is going to be handled. And they're put back out on the street. And then they're in a situation where they might have to apprehend them again. Well, this is a dangerous situation for our law enforcement. It's not fair to put them in that spot. The job's dangerous enough already. And I have definitely heard that from folks that are in the business.
Are you going to be looking here with just about a week left? Are you going to be doing anything in particular? I want to give you the chance to say where folks can maybe run into you to talk about these important issues, to let you. Are there any debates or any town halls, or are you just going to be working the polls from here on out?
Well, I'll be spending a lot of time at the various polling locations throughout Cedar Park, Leander, and the Brushy Creek area. And Monday night at Majori's in Cedar Park from 5 to 7, we're going to be doing a little meet and greet. If you want to come out and get some food and some drinks, you could stop at Randall's right next door and vote before you come over and say hello, but I'd be happy to see you from 5 to 7 at Majori's in Cedar Park on Monday night.
Where is Majori's? Is there a...
It's on Cypress Creek, at the corner of Cypress Creek and Lake Line in Cedar Park.
Okay, and then to go back to the bigger picture as we're wrapping up here, you've talked about property taxes, you've talked about the border security and the sanctuary cities issue. How about, is there education? Is there the Kavanaugh? Are you hearing from women that are worried about the whole Me Too movement? What are some maybe of the other issues that I may have overlooked?
Yeah, I don't hear too much of that. But, you know, I've worked real hard on issues related to helping protect kids from online predators and help the victims of sexual assault.
Oh, I forgot about that, because you talked about that last time you were in here. You were one of the leaders in the House on that issue.
Yeah, and you know, one of the bills that we passed last session had to do with education, but it was about inappropriate student-teacher relationships, where we were having too many of these occurring throughout Texas. And so I helped author and pass the strongest law in the country against this. But one of the things we didn't get to do is that I had a separate bill that said, hey, I want to make sure we already made sure you can't pass them from school district to school district. I think we got that handled now.
And you're talking about when a teacher gets fired or an administrator gets fired, they get sent to the regional service center, or their record doesn't follow them
right.
as as much as it should, correct?
Or they go to another school and reoffend. But what I was worried about, what I'm afraid is happening, is that now we get them out of the public school system, but they might go to a private school. I know of one case of a Central Texas teacher that's now teaching in a school in California.
Really?
Okay. Well, those schools in California or other states or in private schools don't have access to our records for these people that are preying on kids. We need to make sure they have access to that so that they're not around kids. They're not teaching in any kind of school once they leave the public school system. I'm going to work on that again this next session. And I think it's a really important issue for the safety of
people. And I want to have you go back because you brushed over a little gently or a little quickly there. You said it's the toughest law in the nation, but you, because I remember last time you were in talking about this, it was just absolutely remarkable. You passed yourself a law to stop the practice of student or the occurrence, the rare occurrence, hopefully, of student-teacher inappropriate relationships. Talk about the details there a little more.
Well, unfortunately, it's not as rare as we would like. We're very few states that keep records on this. We're the worst state in the country in terms of adults preying on kids in our school systems.
Oh, no.
What was happening prior is that these teachers are being allowed to resign. And oftentimes they would move to another school district. That other school district wouldn't necessarily know why they resigned. It was being hidden. And then they'd get rehired and they'd reoffend. We've had those circumstances right here in Central Texas. So we said, look, you can't let these people resign and have them go to other school districts when they have these kind of situations. So now we require that reporting. Used to be just the superintendent had to report. Just the superintendent. Now we said, look, if you're a principal, if you're an adult in the school system and you know this is happening, you have to report it. And if you don't report it, you could have criminal penalties.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a teacher that preys on kids in the schools and you're convicted, you can lose your pension now as well.
Excellent.
And certainly you're going to lose your teaching license.
Put some teeth in that.
So criminal penalties, loss of pension, and loss of your license. And I want to make sure, again, that if you're going to try and go into a private school or another state, that they're going to be warned before you go.
Okay, folks, we're visiting with State Representative Tony Dale from House District 136. Be sure and check him out at Texans for Tony Dale. Tony, we got about a minute and a half left. I want to have you focus on one issue, and that's the importance of voting. I know there's been some liberal Democrat efforts to make inroads up in the North Austin Cedar Park issue. It is important for Texans to vote, and they're not making too much progress, I hope.
Well, I think what you hear from the left is they want to say the demographics are changing in Williamson County.
Exactly.
And that's just code to say, hey, Republicans, don't show up and vote because they want to win. You have to get out and vote. You know, and really, no matter who you are, you need to get out and vote. I used to be an election judge before I was an election, before I was an elected official.
Good for you.
And I helped a lady vote. She was from Brazil, had never voted in the U.S. before. She became a citizen. Voted for her first time. She was so excited. She looked at me and she said, I'm going to go home now and open up a bottle of champagne.
Really?
And you know what? That's the spirit we should all have when it comes to voting. Hallelujah. We should really appreciate this opportunity. But don't stay home. Don't be depressed. This is your government. You need to have a say in it one way or another. And that's what I think people should do.
Okay. And repeat again, you're having an event on Wednesday.
Monday night,
which make the right night and the right place.
Monday night at Majori's in Cedar Park at the corner of Lakeline and Cypress Creek from 5 to 7. And come on out and vote early at Randall's right next door. And then come over and say hello. I'd love to meet you.
Okay, folks, that's going to put a plug in the jug for the Texas Insider Show this week with State Representative Tony Dale. Tony, we appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
Folks, we'll be back next weekend with State Senator Don Buckingham right here on Talk 1370. Be sure and check us out at TexasInsider.org. And remember, you're either an insider or you're not. I'm Jim Cardle. Thanks for joining us.